Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Imagine drawing more attention to that tree than you needed to. Well, the universe felt like doing that yesterday, and maybe it was a welcome distraction because, man, that football game was sloppy. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamuke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, we will get to me poking and prodding conferences. I have genuine questions as someone who is a first-time conference person this year, Notre Dame joining the ACC for football. We've been a member for a bunch of other sports prior to that, but it's our first time for football this year. We're already in the ACC championship game, so apparently not that hard. But I just want to understand some things because Greg Sankey seems a bit upset with the way the ACC has done business. It's caused a lot of this conference chest beating, and so I just want to understand. But Jhené, before we do that, we do have to celebrate around here because money was handed out today to young athletes, and we always love seeing that. Anthony Davis signed a 5-year, $190 million extension, or I believe was ready to sign. Did they announce that officially yet? Is that gone live?
I think it has been signed. I saw Woj tweet something.
And so, you know what, and that's good enough. That is good enough for me. That is gospel in my book, and so we are good on that end. But, Jhené, you look at that situation where it made an overwhelming amount of sense, and that seems like sure money that you're spending in the world of sports, which is a tough thing to say on a day where we saw John Wall and Russell Westbrook swap places for two contracts that were largely considered albatrosses around their franchises next.
Yeah, I said this earlier on SportsCenter. I said if L.A. right now, based on re-signing LeBron James and Anthony Davis, is bright and sunny, which I always remind you of, Houston is 100% hot and bothered.
Truer words have never been spoken because now they are uncertain about what the future looks like still with James Harden, who this was all really done just to orchestrate and try and get him into and comfortable with staying on that team going forward. So we're going to wait and see. But it did get us thinking, Jhené, the worst purchase we'd ever made. Because Anthony Davis, money well spent. Nobody is going to argue that based on recent examples. But we all have examples of spending money on something we thought was going to be good at the time. I mentioned earlier, my brother, my dad, and I decided to buy my mom a massage chair for Mother's Day 1 year, and it was a catastrophe. And it's still sitch untouched by my mother in my childhood bedroom at our house at home, Jhené. You brought up your sister, NECA, going out, spending money in L.A. like it was going out of style, only to realize she was not getting help from her team. Have we gotten any other good ones popping up here?
We have one, agreeing to split the dinner bill equally with five other couples after your wife only orders a salad. And I'm assuming there's probably like no adult beverages and everyone else probably had them. And by the way, that's our producer, Shannon. My other favorite one is by Kay Watson. I bought canned air one time.
Does that mean like the stuff that you use? Because like we have canned air around here to help like clear out earphones and stuff. I'm not sure what else you would do with that besides maybe breathe it.
If someone sold you canned air, send me that person. That person can sell anything.
Honestly, kudos
here, get
to
a Ziploc bag. Hey,
let me tell you something about this air. This air is so good, you can breathe it. You could breathe it in. You could breathe it out. You could do whatever you want with this one. Dominic Capusta tweeted in a Johnny Manziel 4x6 fathead. That's a tough one. I had one hit very close to home out here, Jhené. Someone said the worst money they ever spent was a custom Mike Golic Jr. Steelers jersey.
That
was the first training camp that I ever went to. They did say, conversely, the best money they ever spent was a Mike Golic Sr. rookie card. It leveled out, but you also got that one for the cheap. My dad is famous for saying that most of the cards he signed, he actually brought the value down with that as the running joke in the Golic house. So you probably got a good deal on that.
I want the card. Send me the card for Christmas. That's what I want for my Christmas card.
There we go.
I'll buy it.
All right. Again, a quarter goes a long way around here, so we will make that work. Keep those coming at Jhené, at Mike Golic Jr., reminding you, hit us up on that Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. The Lakers extending AD is a no-brainer. Money well spent. What's the worst thing that you've ever spent money on there? I'm sorry. I'll mail you the money for that Steelers jersey. I will not do such
Leave it.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here. So, Jhené, I have a genuine question. You played your college basketball at Stanford. I'd assume you have a fair amount of Pac-12 pride. I just want to understand it because what we had come up here today was interesting. Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, told CBS Sports, quote, I was surprised to see the announcement Tuesday from the ACC making moves with their scheduling that now leaves Notre Dame already qualifying for the ACC championship game and Notre Dame and the presumptive team they will face in Clemson both with an off week prior to that game. They will not play December 12th prior to that December 19th championship game. And he said, quote, I was surprised to see the announcement Tuesday. It begs one question. If their two most highly ranked teams were, for instance, ranked 5 and 6 in the CFP rankings, would this decision have been made? We committed to playing a 10-game schedule, which is certainly unique to see some other decisions this week. Where they indicated one direction and they changed last minute. So, Greg Sankey of the SEC appears a bit salty based on the actions of the ACC. Chinay, is there anything to that? Him being upset that another conference just decided to, from his perspective, do something in the best interest of their team that wasn't agreed upon before the season?
I think there is some validity to being frustrated at seeing that happen just because playing a game doesn't just mean playing a game in any year. This year, you're also dealing with the implications of playing games. For instance, if you play, there could be a chance that you could get COVID positivity through that interaction of playing sports. And so I see how these situations where not playing might look even more advantageous for their prospects. Is that how you're feeling?
Yeah. Chinay, I look at it like this, and we talked about this relative to the Big Ten, who Barry Alvarez, the athletic director at Wisconsin, came out and said, if Ohio State is sitting here at 4 in the rankings and they have games canceled and can't play, we should look into changing things so that they're allowed to play in the Big Ten championship game. And I looked at that and I said, that makes an overwhelming amount of sense.
Yes.
And in this year where there's been so much chaos going on, I'm willing to justify pretty much anything in these instances. In an understanding of, all right, we already know these teams have done enough. It's sort of like, Chinay, what I always talk about with college players, where we're seeing a lot of college players opt out right now during this point of the season. If their teams are out of contention and they're deciding to save time for the NFL, good. You're here to up your, to some extent, your goal is to get yourself in a place where you are the most draftable version of yourself possible so you can go make real money and not this IOU stuff the NCAA sells you. And so in that instance, I say, yeah, maybe it being that way for a team isn't all that bad either on the other end.
Now, when are you going to put these conferences on notice?
Well, Chinay, this is the interesting point this brings up.
This comes from a conference-less man.
It's a hard thing to say. But it's true. Notre Dame has dipped a toe into the conference waters this year. We were forced by, and listen, I give credit to John Swofford, the ACC commissioner, till my dying breath for making a decision that makes sense. But this today, Chinay, has prompted tweets from plenty of people who were upset about what goes on right now. Plenty of people, some of our colleagues at the SEC Network, let's say. I saw this from Peter Burns earlier this morning. A great host at the SEC Network. You can hear him on Best Week Ever, Sunday, 7 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Peter tweeted, good morning. Here's hoping your day gets rearranged like Clemson and Notre Dame schedule so it's an easier road for you. And then I saw Cole Kublik and others tweeting the amount of national championships won by conferences from certain days. Yada, yada. Chinay, help me. Make it make sense. Why is this conference identity thing such a big deal for all of you conference folks?
First of all, conference folks, I sort of understand what you're saying just because when I was at Stanford, we sort of have won like Pac-12 championships over the course, like I think it was like 10 or 9, like 9 or 10 straight. And so, you know, we'd always be like, we're the champions of the Pac-12. Like we're the one that was that success story out there because we're constantly the one that was in the Final Fours. But we sort of rallied together because there's some things bigger than us in the sense that Pac-12 after dark, people don't stay up to watch our games on the West Coast. We're trying to show that we are a legit conference. And so in these situations, every conference has handled this the best way they can. But once that infringes on competitive value, that's when they all link up. And I think like we also like to just say that we're the best conference in general, whether you're the Pac, the Big Ten, the SEC, ACC, Big 12. Like that's a competitive thing itself, that conversation. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and I think that's the interesting part to me, Janae, is I can understand wanting to say our group is better, but I also think you guys had a hand in bringing that group to the top. Your team was great. You guys won at a very high level. I feel like most of the people that thump their chests and cape for the conference tend to be the ones rooting for bad teams that couldn't stand on their own with their own accomplishments. And that, to me, it's kind of weirdo behavior that I can't fully understand in these instances. So
that's personal.
Maybe I'm wrong. But again, this is just one man with 1 year of experience in a conference who now knows that his team is already playing in that conference's championship. So
keep riding high.
Yeah, gonna keep riding. Listen, I'm going to ride this thing until the wheels fall off here. None of you can hurt me right now. That's the world of college football. Coming up next, we know who sits atop the NFL right now, but what's the picture look like once we get Kansas City out of the way? We'll tell you next. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN Plus.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Big money coming out. Now, This is going to be incredible. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we've been talking all day because 5 years for $190 million, Anthony Davis, that's good money, money well spent by the Los Angeles Lakers. We've been asking people what their worst purchase is. In about 10 minutes, Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst, is going to hit us over the top with one of the best worst purchases I have ever heard. It's Chinna Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Chinna Agwumike. Could not be more excited for that. But, Chinna, would you say right now, looking at the NFL landscape, we're all pretty in agreement that the Kansas City Chiefs top of the keep right now, right?
Yeah, it's the Chiefs and the field.
It's Chiefs versus the field at this point. We have reached that Tiger Woods status for them. I have now been able to put sentences together again. And so we thought, because ranking stuff has been fun, because we've already had someone in the ESPN radio lineup do the LeBron Jordan debate for today, that we would rank a list of top NFL teams. And so we're going to do that in our top 4-4-4-4 list.
A-list with no limits.
In the kitchen, cooking, good Lord.
The heat.
As long as it stops at 4.
The heat is on the stove.
444.
For real, though.
With Chinna and Golick Jr.
I still can't quite figure out why we call this 444. We don't do three lists of four. It's just two lists of four.
But I don't know either. But maybe it's for chicken nuggets because we like that on the show.
We do. This is a very pro-nugget show. I want everyone to always know that about
nuggets,
us.
Nuggets, fries, drink, and something else, apparently.
Always. We're about a deal around here, which is why we're talking about bad purchases. Because if you stray away from the good deal, you get got. Chinna, we have agreed the Kansas City Chiefs are the top team in the NFL. So the top four teams not named Kansas City. You going to start us off with this?
Let's go, Cliff.
Number four.
All right, this was really tough for me because I wanted to give love to the Bills and also the Titans. Sorry, Christine Lisi, but the quarterback that I do think will close out well, it's the Seahawks at four. And Russ, largely due to what we just saw him do to the Eagles with his receiver, DK Metcalf, who went nuts, went nuclear, but also because the Seahawks have the second easiest schedule left with one team, just one team in their way that is over 500 record. So at four, I'm taking the Seahawks. Cliff.
Number three.
And before I get to number three, Junior, you have any thoughts? Or
I just can't believe you would do that to Christine Lisi. I mean, she baked wonderful cookies for us here today. I'm hoping that Buffalo is somewhere else in your top four right now, or else you have really slighted the queen, and we can't have that.
I'm sorry. You come at the queen, you best not miss it. She's gone and she's
sitting
down.
Nope, she is back and she is mad right now.
Christine, I'm so sorry. I wanted the Bills, but I mean, like, Russ, let him cook, and he's cooking and he's got an easy schedule, and I feel like they're going to close out strong, especially in the NFC. Yes or no?
I'm sorry, Christine.
Oh, no, I think she's done. Do you forgive me, Christine?
I still love you, friend.
She's the best.
Even though they've got a head-to-head win over the Seahawks, but I digress. Go ahead, Chinna.
That was a good day.
It was a great day.
And I will get to head-to-head wins. At three, I'm going to take Taysom Hill Saints, not the Drew Brees Saints, because that would be different here, but I'm going to take Taysom Hill Saints just because their defense is finally turning around, and they have a player that we are not talking about that deserves it more, Alvin Kamara, and on top of it, finally, Michael Thomas is returning to form. Now, the Saints now have the NFL's number one ranked defense this season, the fifth best scoring defense, so I'm going to take the Saints at three, knowing that they can get a boost up this list, especially when Drew Brees returns.
Number two.
And again, because Drew Brees is not playing and Aaron Rodgers is, I got to go with the Packers at two. At number two, our favorite number here on this show. And this is where I said, you know, head-to-heads really matter. And in this instance, the Packers trail the Saints by one game in the NFC right now for the top seed. But they have the head-to-head tiebreaker, right? So this is going to be really interesting to see things shake out. And we all know the Packers, their biggest strength is their offense. And right now it's an offensive game in the NFL. Even though big defenses make sense, they have the number one scoring offense giving you 31 points per game. So I have to just go with Aaron Rodgers because he's out there and he's doing his thing. And hopefully his defense can keep that same energy. And lastly, last but not least.
Number one.
I feel like automatically you got to put the Steelers here. I know we are talking about, you know, week to week that they've taken some tough hits. Bud Dupree and then obviously Devin Bush, that has really hurt them defensively. But looking at the number one still scoring defense right now, and they even had a defensive touchdown yesterday. They still find ways to get it done, even when it's sometimes sloppy. But number one overall, they still got Mike Tomlin, you know, so they're undefeated with Mike Tomlin and a team that showed up in 2020 where that goes far. So four, obviously the Seahawks. Three, we've got the Saints. Two, we've got the Packers. And number one, we've got the Steelers now, outside of the Chiefs, which are automatic.
On the outside, yes, exactly. The concession here of this list because it's 4-4-4, the top four NFL teams not named Kansas City here on Chenea and Golic Jr. Mike Golic Jr., Chenea Igwumike. Why is it called 4-4-4? Well, our producer Shannon has just put up 4-4-4 is a number of protection and encouragement. It is a sign that you are currently following the right path. If you see the number 4-4-4 repeatedly, it's often your angel giving you a sign they are with you, the sign reminding you to feel confident and supported in this knowledge.
Like, thank you, Shannon.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Then, Shannon.
Okay, I want you to go off. I want to hear your top four. Go.
Let's kick it off, Cliff. Number four. Going to start off with the Los Angeles Rams in this situation here, Janae. The L.A. Rams, I look at in this situation as the favorites in the NFC West. Yes, I know they've been swept by the 49ers. Yes, I know the loss this last weekend was sort of inexplicable given the current state of the 49ers, but this is such a difficult division, Janae. Mita Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, often says anyone can beat anybody, so I'm going to trust the team that has right now the best play caller in that division currently with the best personnel this season in Sean McVay and the best defensive players, maybe the top two defensive players in Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey in that secondary. Cliff.
Number three,
Chenea, I'm basically going to flip-flop your middle two here. I'm going to go the Green Bay Packers at number three now. They're sixth in weighted DVOA, the stat from our friends at Football Outsiders, Aaron Schatz, who joins the show every week, basically measuring overall efficiency. And I think this team, they own one of the more impressive wins this season going out. Excuse me, I believe I am mixing that up. I want to make sure, 100% sure. No, they own one of the more impressive losses this season. They obviously got thumped by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but since then they have gone out here, and you mentioned it's an offensive league. In DVOA, they are second behind only the Kansas City Chiefs. Aaron Rodgers and this team are getting healthy at the right time, and I think that's going to make them dangerous.
Number two,
I put the New Orleans Saints with any quarterback in this instance. I think what we saw last year from them, Chenea, is that they have proven they can weather the storm at quarterback with injury. They did it with Teddy Bridgewater. They are off to a start with Taysom Hill. And I believe that when Drew Brees comes back rested again down the stretch, this is still a team that's been looking good. Would you agree?
Absolutely, but I'm more curious for your number one, or should I not be?
No, because this one kind of...
Number one.
It's got to be Pittsburgh. I'm still going to respect that the standard is the standard around there, Chenea. They are 11-0. They have managed to fight their way through some ugly football, but we know over the course of a long season that comes with the territory. As long as they keep Ben upright, healthy, and good to go, we're going to be fine here.
I like this because our list is the same with the top three outside of the Chiefs. Clearly, you guys, we say the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. And the other two teams, the Rams and the Seahawks, same division. So, like, that should just tell you a lot about the NFC West.
A lot about the NFC West that we will learn there. But coming up next, we will learn if our ESPN NFL analyst, Dan Orlovsky, agrees with this and one of the best worst purchase stories I have ever heard. That's coming up next. It's Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Streaming on ESPN Plus. I am struggling every once in a while on this show today, so I will try and distract you with this. In about 10 minutes, I want to give everyone an opportunity. Chenea, one of the complaints that I hear all the time around college football is it's the same teams playing every year. We only talk about the same four teams and all this. I'm going to give everyone a chance who's ever complained about this to put their money where their mouth is, and they get a chance to do it this weekend. We will get to all that, but first, we have to ask a very important question. ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line right now. And Dan, we've been talking all day about worst purchases that we've ever made. And so I'm curious for you, along the way between your time at UConn, playing in the NFL, now here in media, what stands out for you as the worst purchase you've ever made?
I got two. I actually hit up Chenea on her Twitter and responded. So first of all, my rookie year, I just got done with my rookie year. My boy, my best friend, this dude named Brett Connor, played baseball at Monmouth University in New Jersey. Beautiful campus. And I was a loser, so I go my rookie year. I'm trying to be BMOC. I go down to visit him for homecoming for his game, for his homecoming weekend. And I walk into their bar, which is called Stingers, and I ordered 50 warm vodka shots. Like, well, vodka, you know, not like, not good vodka, like 50. And, like, me and the crew that was with me in that moment, it was like, I'm going to embarrass you if you don't take these warm vodka shots type moments. So that was an awful purchase because, one, it was stupid expensive, and two, it was
Oh, man, we lost Dan in the... leaving us on the high note...
He was going to say stupid, period.
Leaving us on the high note of warm vodka would be incredible. So we already know, Chinee, Dan is in for 50 shots of warm vodka as one of his worst purchases of all time. You mentioned your sister made one of her worst purchases of all time going out in L.A. So we've got Dan Orlovsky back with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So, Dan, you're already in for 50 shots of warm vodka, and you're telling me there's a purchase that might actually challenge that as worse.
Well, I mean, it's probably not like, but my rookie year, I bought a Chevy Avalanche, and I put a PlayStation with televisions in the back of the headrest. It's like, who puts PlayStation in their car when they don't have kids? Like, I was 21. I was the only one ever in my car. I didn't even play video games.
You put PlayStation in your car?
In the back?
With televisions. In the back. So, like, I'm the only one in my car. I didn't have children, so that was a very stupid purchase.
Did anyone play?
No, it's literally, tonight. I'm not kidding you. No one ever played it, not a single time.
Dan, you know what? I can empathize with you on this. I bought my first house, the house I'm still in right now, when I was 26, and I decided instead of having a dining room table, I was going to be edgy and buy an air hockey table. I live alone. I still live alone, and 4 years later, that table has been used twice, Dan, twice.
That's embarrassing a little bit as well, you know, Mike, but proud of you for admitting that on radio.
Oh my gosh, so like you put your plate out and it'd blow away. I can't even handle this. You two are wild, but you guys are family, so I'll accept that. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, here with us on Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and live on ESPN Plus right now. Now, Dan, to the football field. We just had this debate. We made our four lists, top four teams in the NFL, outside of the Chiefs, because everyone knows the Chiefs are just playing with house money at this point, trying to just close the gap on the Steelers in the AFC. But who would you say is the best team outside of the Chiefs, outside of them right now?
Outside of the Chiefs, the best team in the NFL, I think probably the New Orleans Saints or the Green Bay Packers. I'm giving you two. Those are the two teams that I could see sitting there and winning the Super Bowl outside of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, everyone's going to go, why the Steelers? Or why not the Steelers? Excuse me. I think the Steelers are really, really, really good. I think the Bud Dupree injury is enormous. And I don't think they're explosive enough on offense. I think that the Saints, my question is, can they create enough explosive offense, especially in the playoffs? And then the Packers, I'm with everybody. Their run defense stinks. I get all that. It's 2020. I think that if Aaron Rodgers gets bonkers hot like he has been for this season, for a four-game stretch, I don't know if the run defense will hold back. I go back and forth on that, but it's 2020. You got to score points, and they can do it with anybody.
Talking to Dan Orlovsky with us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And it does come down to points, Dan. I'm curious what your thoughts are. You obviously know Jared Goff and the Los Angeles Rams. Well, I had them as my number four team outside of Kansas City here in the NFL. But they do have two very interesting losses to a 49ers team that's decimated by injury this year. What's the key for them, Dan? What's the difference on days like that and days where they're going out there and beating teams like the Seahawks and some of the league's best?
Yeah, you know, Mina Kimes said this a couple weeks ago on NFL Live, and I think it hits home more this year than anything. The playoffs are going to be all about matchups this year. The matchup is going to be huge. And so, you know, for the Rams, I don't think they match up well against the 49ers. Very similar offensive scheme. They know the weaknesses and the flaws of those football teams and the schematic aspects of it. So I just don't think it's a great matchup. For the Rams, listen, Sean McVay did not say what he said publicly this week by mistake when he said, my quarterback needs to protect the football better. Sean McVay believes the only way that they don't represent the NFC in the Super Bowl or that they don't get to the NFC Championship game is if Jared Goff, you know, has way too many turnovers. Sean believes that. He believes that they've got one of the better secondaries in football. Their defense is really, really good, like everyone knows. And he's going to get guys open on offense. And Jared just needs to know if it's not there, don't throw it to the other team. Simpler said than done. But I don't think that there's a team in the NFC that'll be in the playoffs that I point to that I believe the Rams cannot beat.
It's going to be fascinating to watch down the stretch. You're right, because Sean McVay has been fully back in his bag over the course of this season. Dan, we appreciate the time as always, man. Post-pandemic warm vodka shots on me, all right?
He's smart,
hard no. Hard no.
Maybe a bottle of red for Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst who joined us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. All right, Janae, I told you that coming up next, I'm going to give college football fans who complain about the way the game is, that we only have the same three or four teams every year, and that it's all overdone and we talk about them too much, a chance to put their money where their mouth is, and they get to do it in Myrtle Beach. We'll get to that after this word from Mercedes-Benz. You ever wonder how far an extra mile really goes? Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. Start with a network of over 250 authorized dealerships, backed by a sales force that's ready to help you with everything from customization to service. On vans like the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, that's tailored to your lifestyle. It's got options like blind spot assist and MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather, and so much more. So whether you're enjoying life out in the trail or working hard in the job, see how far an extra mile can really go by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealership today. And now, with IRS Section 179, businesses could be eligible for up to a $25,900 tax deduction. That's up to $5,439 in tax savings. Options and model availability may vary. See your dealer for details about cost and terms. Some equipment described is optional. That $5,439 tax savings is based on 21% federal tax rate and eligibility to claim full $25,900 Section 179 vehicle deduction. Your tax rate and eligibility may vary. Consult your tax advisor for more information. Limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com. Offer valid through December 31st, 2020. What's at stake in Myrtle Beach? Next, it's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. About 10 minutes, we'll be joined by Matt Barnes. Try and figure out what's going on in Los Angeles, Janae. A lot of weird chatter around Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and kind of the temperature inside this Clippers locker room that we know underperformed relative to expectations last year.
The temperature is kind of heated, so very soon we will talk to Matt Barnes, who will give us all the smoke.
All of the smoke on that one.
As see we what get I a did couple- there?
I appreciate that. Real knucklehead. As we get all the former NBA player podcast references in this one segment, because we are not above that around here. But, Janae, we know we like to around here not only take people inside of the locker room as former athletes, a current athlete, and yourself, but also get up on the pulpit every once in a while and explain things that are near and dear to us here. It ends up usually being college football hour for me, and today is no exception. Let's hit one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
And Janae, I'm going to start with what's going on this weekend. We have a really cool occurrence that's a result of all the chaos in 2020. This weekend, College Game Day is going to be in Myrtle Beach. Coastal Carolina was supposed to host Liberty, but because of obviously what's happening with the virus, Liberty's unable to play with that game. And so BYU stepped in. BYU and Coastal Carolina, who have been both undefeated and both, I think, undervalued in the eyes of the playoff committee and a lot of college football. BYU's gotten a ton of scrutiny. Go out and schedule a Pac-12 team. You're going to play anyone, anywhere, every time. Some of that's warranted and some of it's not. But what I'm here to say about this weekend, Janae, is that as we look at this matchup, of one of the best teams in the country in BYU, of one of the best group of five teams in the country, and a great story in Coastal Carolina. Put value on this game and put money where your mouth is for those who have complained about college football, that it's only Clemson and Alabama and Ohio State. We talk about the same three teams with the playoffs every year, because my fear was, as soon as this game was announced, was that we're going to do the thing where we don't give these teams credit, where we use this game either way, either outcome, to slight these teams and say, well, they should have played some sub-500 group of five teams, some sub-500 power five team, excuse me, to get the credit that they rightly deserve. These are darn good football teams, and anyone who covers college football will tell you that till they're blue in the face. Go out and support this game the way it deserves. Put value in the right places if you want to complain about where we put value overall as a national media discussing this topic. You got an easy chance to start. You've got easy teams to root for this weekend in Myrtle Beach with College Game Day.
put some respect on the periphery. I'm here for that because I'm part of it in the Pac-12, so I totally get it.
Hey, listen, we control where we put value as fans, as people that cover this, and so if we approach this game and give it the billing it deserves, everyone else will come to realize what we know, that college football can be more than just a discussion of who's going to wind up at number four in the poll.
Oh, man, I would love to just be number four if it comes to the Western Conference standings with my team in Houston. But, like, let me gather myself. Here I go. Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm even just getting worked up thinking about it. So after our show yesterday, and this is me on my pulpit right here, I go to my bed because I'm working from home, and I'm, like, looking at my phone, and then we get the trade. And I'm like, oh, this is cute. I was like, hold up. This is the trade. Everyone in the 281, the 713, the 832 has been waiting on. Something is actually happening. Russell Westbrook has decided to leave Houston. We knew that. That's not breaking news. But the news was that he's now heading to Washington, and in return we are getting, and I say we because I'm from Houston, Texas, Cypress, Texas to be exact, John Wall. Now, a lot of people have said this is a lateral move, and I think on paper it might be a lateral move just because these are guys that are sort of similar, explosive point guards, and especially the last few years, what we've seen with John Wall has really been tragic. He's someone that I see a lot of myself in the sense that you have to overcome a lot, public perception due to injury, and this man has had it rough. He's had a knee injury, he had a foot, I think like foot spurs or something like that. And last but not least, while he was recovering, he even had to have Achilles surgery. That was in February 2019. I am a glass half full woman, and this is what I will say happens to the Rockets through that energy and through that positive lens. You have a guy, and if you're speaking about value, Junior, you have a guy that finally is starting to tap into his value against public perception, meaning you have a guy that wants to prove people wrong. He wants to go out there and play to his best of ability just because he knows that's what people are waiting to see. He knows he's not an MVP like the guy who was there before in Russ. But instead, let's be who I was, if not better. And who was that before? Put some respect on his name. He played 32 games in 2018, and he averaged 20 points, 8 rebounds, and 1.5, steals per game. Defensive player on both ends. That's John Wall. Big picture here, if he's able to play with a chip on his shoulder, he will be able to deliver more than what we expected in this situation. And largely, I wanted to say this. In the offseason, that's where we do our grind. You know, you what is it? You say you work hard in the darkness so that your grind and your work can come to the light. And I think this is going to happen. And I believe this more so largely because KD said it himself. He said, quote, in their workouts this offseason, he looked amazing to me. He looked great. And I'm speaking of John Wall. I'm excited to see John play again. He's been out for 2 years now. I know he wants to go out there and play great basketball and lead that team. So I'm excited for him that he's back. Now, long term, we know we may not keep James, but we finally have someone that wants to be here when the last few weeks, that's the opposite of what we've been hearing. So I'm here for that. I'm trying to vent. I'm working through my emotions. I still feel like this. But that is the only outcome we can have here. A John Wall that is going to hopefully be comeback player of the year. Something like that. Please. That's my fingers crossed.
Speaking into existence, Chinee. That's all you can do at this point is try and go off of what we've seen in the offseason, which are very tight angle shots of John Wall workout videos that look really compelling. And we get got by those every offseason. But it is interesting. I heard the guys on KJ&Z this morning say, it's been over 700 days since John Wall has played a basketball game. It is
December 26, 2018.
It's truly a grab bag of what we're going to
tell.
Get. No, it's but Chinee, I appreciate that this does matter to you, and I think Houston, again, I've said they're not a team that stares at oblivion the way Oklahoma City and Milwaukee and some of these smaller markets do, but at the same time, you have got someone who so clearly defines an identity in James Harden. And we've seen having something like that to buoy the rest of your team off of can make a world of difference. No matter what move you put around someone, it's about keeping that core happy. And that's their mission right now. Maybe John Wall can really help that.
I don't know if we'll be able to change James Harden's mind. I think he has one of the best poker faces. Maybe he's number two. Number one is Kawhi Leonard. But big picture here, you have DeMarcus Cousins and you have John Wall. College roommates that are now teammates, and hopefully the positive vibes. And both of them, DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie coming off of an ACL, and now John Wall coming off of an Achilles. They're both are going to be trying to elevate each other, and they know what they're going through. Hopefully that vibe will rub off on James, but I don't know. I won't hold my breath.
Positive vibes only. Light a candle, safe distance away. Make sure you're getting all the proper aromas in the room, and just
no, we're getting plugins from now on.
Glade plugins. We're a plug-in family around here. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you worked so hard for. Visit progressivecommercial.com. All right, coming up next, as we talk about the good vibes in certain locker rooms, I want to take a trip out to L.A. I would love to physically and see some of the sunshine that
Janae
is dealing with. But I also want to take a trip out there into the locker room that's doing less celebrating now. Are two stars really part of the problem in Los Angeles? We'll get to that next. It's Janae and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming everywhere on ESPN+.